Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the every month. Yes, that's a change. Every month. Tuesday night call. We're going to have a bit of a change of regularity on the calls in the new year based on demand. And I'll let Jesse speak to that, but want to welcome everybody to the call. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season, new year, what have you. And we are here for this week, and then we'll be back next month. So, Mr. Jesse, did you come back to your phone? Are you hearing me? Because you are unmuted. At least you were. Well, I got to look at
there. Now you unmuted me, it says.
There you go. Okay, now you're good.
Yeah.
See, I tried to do it once. How are you tonight?
How are you, buddy? Man, I just got home from eating Mexican food. I took my wife to supper, and it was good. And I say supper because that's the way it is in Tennessee. You eat dinner for lunch and supper for dinner. Yeah, it depends on where you're at.
You asked how I'm doing. I'm doing a lot better today than I have the last 3 days.
Well,
it seems I got sicker than a dog.
Did you get a little COVID Saturday afternoon, right after.
No, I've already been through COVID. COVID was nothing compared to this. COVID was a piece of cake, a walk in the park.
Yeah, well, there's no... you know, there's been no flu cases this whole year. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I got some kind of an intestinal bug. And, boy, I tell you, it just ripped me apart. It felt like a little bit of heartburn right after lunchtime on Saturday. And by the evening time, I was just, it kept moving down and down and down, and I was hurting. And I just, I did not feel good and everything. I went to bed Saturday night, and I think the longest period of sleep I got the entire night was 20 minutes. And I started getting major cramps in my lower legs, both legs. I take magnesium. I've been taking it. But I'll tell you what, I had massive cramps. I'd wake up to cramps, not in one leg, but in both legs every time.
What the hell? I did that
all night. Sunday, I was miserable. I got up, took a shower Sunday morning, thought I felt just a little better. I was taking colloidal silver and stuff, and I was up for a little bit. I went back to bed at 8:15 in the morning, slept till 12:15. Was up for about another hour, went back to bed, and slept till about 5:00. And I was up for a while in the evening, and then I went through another day of stuff. Yesterday was a little better. I finally ate something yesterday for the first time since breakfast Saturday, and I'm doing better. I'm eating food again. I'm feeling good, and you know, I was just talking to my friend Leon. I was doing some legal paperwork for him, and I was really concerned because I wasn't able to get the stuff done that he needed to be able to file in the court. Well, and you know, I was hoping I was going to be good this morning, and it turned out I was pretty good, but I've had as far as how I feel and everything, pretty much a normal day today. But, boy, I tell you, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I felt like somebody ran over me with 3 Mack trucks. One big box truck and 2 semis. I mean to tell you, I was hurting. I felt like crap. My eyes hurt so bad. I mean, it was, you know, it just was no fun. But anyway, I'm back. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm not overrun with any stuff I can't deal with. So, you know, but it just wasn't what one would refer to as a pleasant experience. So I'd say that's my good news, but the only good news part of that is I'm doing better. Man.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had finally ended up showing some diarrhea yesterday, which, you know, if you got something you think is intestinal, that's one of the first things you look for, but didn't have anything like that on Saturday or Sunday. And then finally, you know, stuff started to move after I ate something yesterday, and that made all the difference in the world. And, you know, the crud started getting out of me, and
that's important.
That just helped a tremendous. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't need to be carrying that stuff around. Ooh, man. But, you know, it's one of those things. I've had this happen twice in my life. Once I was in my 30s and ended up in the hospital overnight. They thought they were going to take my appendix out, but determined I had a real severe intestinal virus, and they sent me home. And the doctor said, you need to rest for 2 weeks. And I said, I don't need to rest for 2 weeks. He says, you just wait and see. He was right. I needed to rest for 2 weeks, and I was in good physical health with what I was doing and everything. That just
right.
absolutely knocked me in my can for way over a week. So, and then I had it one other time, too. But, you know, my energy's back today. I haven't gone out and done anything other than walk down to the mailbox today. But, you know, yesterday I had something to eat, and I had a little bit of energy afterwards. I drove 1 mile to FedEx, went, took a box in, came out, and my butt was dragging going to my car outside. By the time I got home, I was slow going up the stairs. That's how quickly the energy evaporated. So, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. So, anyway.
That's good.
Yeah. So,
nothing wrong with that at all, buddy.
Yeah, I'm square. You know, no fun going through it, but things could have been a lot worse. You know, who knows what's going to happen. I might be getting shot at 2 or 3 days from now. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I was telling Terry, you know, this hit me. This hit me the other day. You know, for anybody that doesn't know it, we're in a world war right now. At the present time, we're lucky. It's not a kinetic war. It's an information war. But we are in a world war right now, whether you realize it or want to believe it or not. And
yes,
it just hit me the other day.
Me.
Yeah, well, but it hit me the other day. This is the second war I've been in my life. 51 years ago, 7th of this month, I came back from Vietnam. So I've already been through that, and now here I am in a second war in my lifetime. Oh, man. So, anyway, I think you need to tell us about the new schedule that we have here.
Well, we're just doing one call and one webinar per month till we start rebuilding FoilizingYourDebt.com because our membership has dropped way off considering, you know, all the good years, which, listen, that's a blessing. I'm not complaining. I'm glad everybody's doing good. That's what we want for our fellow Americans. We don't need to see anybody suffering. You know, that is, I told Gary, and, you know, Gary actually is the one who came up with the idea. And I'm so busy with other things going on with mom and all that, you know, I got that and then my own neck and my CT surgery scans and MRIs and maybe a surgery. You know, who knows? So it's working out just fine, you know, and that's what they can support. You know, the call levels have dropped off. We all know this. And it's just been, it is what it is, you know. So we're good. It's okay. But I am going to start marketing it again. I said I was going to do it last year, and I didn't. And I think now is the time. I just think now is the time, you know. So I'm going to do that. So anyway, let me go into my disclosure again, guys, because I don't think we've done it. And so here's the deal. If you're looking for legal advice, you've come to the wrong place. We do not give legal advice. We don't even know what legal advice is. So, guys, again, if you're here on this call and you're searching for legal advice, you need to pack up your stuff and roll on down the road because that's not going to happen tonight. So if you want to have fun discussing some good news, calls, things that have happened to you in your case or our case, we're going to do all that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you some good news of my own. So there you have it. We don't do legal advice, and neither should you expect them. So we're done with that. So my good news is, as I've told everybody over the years, when you get to a point in your foreclosure that you have an opportunity to settle or you've had enough, and you say, okay, I've gotten my fair share back out of the bank. You know, no skin off the hide there, or off their whatever. And you're ready to settle. There's no shame in settling. A lot of people feel like they're giving up, or they're not. It's a business decision, and it's going to have to help you and your family and nobody else. And that's what I've done. So the bank came off of the initial offer, $100,000 on the house. So they took my second offer after I politely explained to them about how a Chapter 7 works and how that can go for, you know, another 5 years. And I would do an adversarial proceeding in the bankruptcy court under a Chapter 13. So we had a nice long conversation. They seem to have seen it our way, and it's good. So, again, it's a business decision. That leaves us close to, well, it leaves us a bunch of money under the current appraised value that we can do some upgrades to the house. And if we want to sell it, we'll come out ahead. And if we want to keep it, well, then we're still ahead. But it's a business decision, and there's no shame in doing it. And we've got a nice little mortgage at a 3% interest rate, you know, for 30 years, as if we just bought the house. So it's a nice situation. It's taken us almost 14 years to get here. But you got to realize, how much money have I saved over 14 years in taxes, insurance, and interest payments? Because none of those are direct mortgage payments. They're all interest payments. Think about what I just said. How much money have I saved? And that's kind of what you got to look at. So, you know, I've gotten what I needed, and I'm moving on down the road, David. And I'm a happy guy.
Well, that sounds super.
Guy. It is.
That sounds super.
And,
I'm glad
you
finally got it wrapped
up. Federal court. Yeah. Mama's happy. Danny's happy. We're going to wrap it up. Right by Friday, it'll all be done. So, you know,
good.
All this is good. Yeah, and it makes my wife very, very happy. And, you know, she can move on doing whatever she wants to do with the house. And I can start with my new roof that I need. And that's that. You know, everybody's back to square one. But, you know, we've got our just due. You know, I protested for 14 years. And it's time. It's time to just move along. You know? And that's what we're doing. And I'm very grateful. Yep, I'm very grateful. And I thank God that I've had the opportunity for 14 years to stay in one home and do it. Now, I do have another home that's been in foreclosure the same amount of time. That case is very, very stale because it's a David Stern case. And I beat him in the trial twice now already. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that property pays for, you know, 85% of the mortgage on this one now starting. So I'm perfectly content. You know what I mean?
Your rental income from it.
Yeah. So my mortgage is about $600 a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take it. I'll take it. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll keep fighting the other one for as long as I possibly can.
Well, that's super. You've been through a lot, but when you keep running the calculator and you get to that final number of what you saved and how much value there is there, equity wise, you're
you got a pretty
substantial number.
Yeah. So I'm sitting equity wise at about 30% equity in the house after the settlement.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong. Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Now, what kind of comments did they have for you after they finally agreed? I'd be curious.
There's no comments. So here's the discussion, just so you know, okay? And I want to be open and frank about this because I have been with everybody. So, you know, for the first problem I have, guys, is this house was, and I'm going to throw the numbers out there so you guys kind of understand. This property was 620 in 2006. We did 520 on the mortgage, put 150 grand into remodeling. And, so, you know, I was into it for 770 or so after everything said and done. And, 670, I'm sorry. So there was some shenanigans that went on with Bank of America, Countrywide, MERS. You know, everybody knows this story. I don't need to go on. And so, you know, when the economy took a crap, I didn't have a choice. I just I couldn't make that payment. So I had to figure out these shenanigans and play against them. So they just sold it and sold it and sold it and sold it and sold it. And meanwhile, we've been to trial twice, again, won both times. If we go to trial again, which we haven't been, but if we go to trial again, I'm not so sure I'll win because of this attorney or this particular judge, which is fine with me. You know, but, you know, there's a time when you say, okay, I've been here 13 years. I approximately saved around $650,000 in mortgage, taxes, and insurance over the last 14 years. That's what you would have wound up paying. So if I save that and I get the original amount of the mortgage at a better interest rate, less than half of what I originally signed for, and I got 30% equity in the property, 30 is more, let me see, that's about 40% equity. After everything's said and done, I think you're sitting pretty good. Don't you agree? You there, Dave? Hello?
Oh, yeah, I bumped my button. I hit the mute button, and I didn't unbump it.
Yeah. So if I, you know,
well,
you
no,
turn
that's,
around
that's,
settle.
Yeah.
Well, here was their deal. So my negotiation was this. Okay, guys, you want $1,085,000. Well, what's going to happen is when you go to trial, you might get $800. You might get $800 from the judge. But the problem with that is that there's a little, as usual, you know, Jesse always has something up his sleeve. Well, this particular something was what? The foreclosure worksheet. And that foreclosure worksheet states this. To the best of my knowledge, you know, as an attorney, I have done my due diligence and blah, 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 blah. These numbers are accurate. And we've checked with the servicer, yada, yada, bang, bang, boom, boom, bullshit, basically. So when we look at the worksheet, you might wind up getting $650 at trial. Because if I happen to, just happen to, subpoena that attorney who started this case and ask him, hey, were you honest and did you do your due diligence when you filed this case and you signed this foreclosure worksheet? And he happens to say yes, well, they're screwed. If he happens to say no, the case goes away. Either way, it's a win for Jesse.
Yeah.
You get it? So we came up with an offer that I thought they would get at trial, and they took it. And I explained that to the attorney. We had a long conversation. I think I told you, Dave. We had a three-way call. And, you know, and guys, I'm going to tell you this. The first, I said, guys, I want to open this call myself, and I appreciate you letting me do that with the attorneys. And I just thank, his name's David also, by the way, Dave. And I said, listen, David, I just want to thank you. Seriously, I said, you've been a stand-up attorney. You have not badgered my wife when you deposed her. You have not been your typical, you know, arrogant prick of an attorney. You have been nothing but a gentleman. You've been very professional. And man to man, I can't thank you enough for the way you've handled it. And he was blown away. I said, no matter how this ends up, I want to thank you as a person, just man to man, because you have been a hell of a nice person. He couldn't believe it. He was like, my God, Jesse, I've never been thanked for filing for
he probably read the whole case and thought, oh, boy, this guy's going to be a real first-class a-hole to even talk to on the phone.
And, you know, I just told him, I said, whatever we talk about here, I'm not taking personal. You don't take it personal. Everybody just consider it business. But I want you to know, as a person, I respect you. You're a great person. You've been very kind and very professional. And that's rare in your industry. And I told him that. So that was how I started the call, you know, just because I wanted him to know that. That's how I felt. So I told him, I said, okay, guys, so here's, let's look at all these scenarios, right? Tanner's on the phone. He's on the phone. I've already done all the scenarios. Tanner did a few. I did a few. And I said, you know, Tanner says, hey, let me interject here. I want to talk about this foreclosure worksheet, blah, blah, blah. So he threw that out there and it made sense. And David agreed. He said, it does make sense. We never thought about that angle, you know. And so, you know, that's where it started. And I said, okay, so you get $800,000, I get an appraisal, I get a low appraisal, because nobody knows how to do appraisal on our properties. Our property is a very unique property, David. It's very, very, very unique. And each one of these properties is very unique in my little area. So there's only 10 houses, or no, 10 is by 8. And they're all unique. So Dave's house down the street might be worth X, and mine's worth this. And next door, George's is worth X. And, you know, they're all very, very unique. So I said, right. You know, you're going to get a low-ball appraisal. My wife will file a Chapter 13. We'll do a cram down. I'll do an adversarial proceeding. She's got the income to make X amount of payments per month, you know. And you're stuck for 5 years. You don't have another choice. And you're going to get whatever the judge says you're going to get. And I said, by the time the cram down is done and everything goes away, you know, we're going to owe about X. And literally you could hear a mouse piss on cotton because it was that quiet. Yeah. And he says, man, I didn't think about that. And I says, you know, and I have a federal case and I have an adversarial proceeding that I can move on with. And I said, we don't want that. We don't want that. So I gave him the offer. And he said, I said, I don't want a 1099 for the balance because that can give me a $90,000 tax liability.
Right.
I said, that's one of my stipulations because that's a 30% income tax on that crap, you know? Which, what do we do, David, with 1099s? What do we do with them?
3949A.
So I threw that out there knowing that that would be a bargaining chip back to me. And I said, I don't want a 1099. These are the numbers. This is a percentage rate, blah, blah, blah. You know, and let's start with that. So lo and behold, I get the email today. And Tanner says, amazingly, they have a counter. They insist on a 1099, but will either defer for up to 3 years to see if the feds simply drop this, as they did during the Obama administration. Alternatively, they can spread it over the years to ease the pain. They say that this is a six-month trial period. Not sure how that would affect us since we were all able to make the payments. Let me know. So I'm going to tell them, no, just send me the 1099 next year, and then I will do a 3949A and give it right back to them. I'm done. I knew that was going to be the bargaining chip. And it's done. So that's where we're at, my friend.
Oh, there you
go. Guess
you
got him a new mortgage. I haven't had a mortgage in 14 years. I knew not to act.
Congratulations, you're in debt.
Yeah,
thank you, John.
Good job, though.
Well, that's super. So, you know, you took the long, winding road to get there, but you got there, and that's the most important part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, well, that's super. I'm glad to hear it.
I am too, man.
Oh, man.
I am absolutely ecstatic. I'm telling you, I'm so ecstatic.
I know you've been wanting to drill down and get this thing resolved. Yeah,
my wife's happy. And you know what? She deserves to be happy. Period.
Yeah.
So
she's put up with my craziness for a damn lot of years, you know?
Jesse,
what'd you say? Yeah, buddy.
Is she on the mortgage or just you or
both
of you?
She's on the note. I'm on the mortgage as usual. Yeah. So, yeah. We're in good shape, man. We're in good shape.
She's on the note, and you're both on the mortgage?
Yeah, typical Florida stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting start to the year. I guess this may be a good way
right?
to put that. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Well,
like I said, we're waiting a long time to get this done. And it's done. It's done. And I feel good, you know, that my wife's happy.
Ta-da.
Everybody's happy. Exactly.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
There's something to be
ta-da.
Said about all that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had a whale of a battle, and you had some people that, you know, they did a lot of sneaky stuff. You actually made a bunch of TCPA money and everything on that whole deal too, didn't you?
Oh, you don't even want to know. It's high six figures. Yeah. Listen, yeah. When I look at it in the long term, the house will wind up costing me about $250,000.
Yeah.
Literally, that's kind of the way you got to look at it, because there's been so many lawsuits over $50,000, $60,000, you know, $30,000. And I reminded
yeah.
David,
see, it
I said, why don't you...
Yeah, it isn't just
huh?
the paperwork on the house. It's all the peripheral stuff that
yeah.
occurred going through this whole
yes.
process that threw so much money back at you.
Yes. And I reminded David to go to Pacer and look my name up. I said, listen, you know, I got a case pending there. And I says, I encourage you to go to Pacer. This was pretty funny. I said, I encourage you to go to Pacer and show me a case I've lost. He goes, I've already been there. So has every attorney in my firm. We know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and I said,
who
you
is
didn't find
guy?
Any, did you? I said, you didn't find any, did you? I said, I know when I have a reason to sue somebody, because I'm not going to go frivolously, you know, without 100% guaranteeing that I'm going to win. And I said, I don't like to lose. And I said, I hate losing more than I love winning. So let's just leave it at that. You know? And he was like, okay. So he didn't want to talk about
did
it.
Did you get
lot,
a little bit
know?
Of a smile out of him on that one?
I don't know, because it was on the phone. You know, he was in Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, yeah, Tanner tried to tell everybody to come down to the Abbey and drink a bunch of beer and we'll talk it out there. But, you know, with the COVID stuff, nobody wants to. I would have went and drank beer, but he didn't want to go drink the beer. Listen, I've gotten lucky, man. I tell you, you know, I've gotten lucky. I just feel lucky.
Well, but you worked
you know?
Hard for it. It's not all luck.
I know.
There's a lot of hard work in there,
know.
You know.
I still feel
but,
lucky.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel lucky. I can't even, you know, I wish I could just tell you
just
how lucky
I feel. That was a big sigh of relief I just heard there. Another one.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I just, like I said, man, I feel lucky. I got a bunch of good friends like you guys and, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how lucky I feel, man. I just wish I could tell you. How grateful I am for everything. You know, I'm really, really grateful for everything. It's
well, I think we know you well enough. We know where you are. At least
yeah.
I know
yep.
I do.
So, yeah, I'm just going to move on. And my wife's happier than shit. Matter of fact, we went and looked at a couple modular homes over the weekend at the RV show. And one for my mom and dad and one for my mother-in-law. And I think we're going to put two little 500-square-foot modular homes right here on the property and let them live their whatever long time they have in peace and know that they're well taken care of, and you know,
yeah.
So we can actually move
around
on
around close
plan,
where you can keep an eye on them. Yeah.
Yeah, about 100 feet from the front door. You know, so
yeah.
And you know, I mean, listen, man, we all get older, and Dave, you're the oldest of the bunch on the call, and you know
yep,
it'd be nice if you lived next close to your son or daughter. And that was there, and you know, you could count on them if something happens or you get ill or something. There's just a security thing there. You know what I mean? I'm 53,
oh,
and
yeah.
I like my son
yeah.
close. You know, so it just is what it is. And like I told my wife, actually, my wife constantly reminds me, as much as we like our privacy, because we all like our privacy, you know, we're empty nesters, so it's nice. It's also nice to have that peace of mind when mom and dad are close. So for $50,000, I mean, those little modular homes. And, John, you know what I'm talking about. They're nice as hell.
Yep.
You know, bedroom, living room, and
yep.
$50,000, $55,000 set up on your property. And, but, I mean, you know, my mom pays $1,400 a month for her rent at an apartment because she don't want dad cutting grass. And they've been renting an apartment at the same place for 6 or 7, 8 years. And that rent went from $900 to $1,400. Well, hell, she can buy the modular place and pay $300 a month on it. I mean, it saves her $1,100,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a huge deal. And my mother-in-law's
yep.
there. They're both next to each other. They'll be 25, 30 feet apart. And they have each other if we're not here, you know? So there's always somebody there, which is nice. And, you know, when time comes and everybody's gone, then I turn them into Airbnbs because I'm right by the lakes. And I can rent them to bass fishermen for $500 a week. Damn near every week from December through about March and April. So they turn into cash flow, you know.
Yep.
So, like I said, man, I'm grateful. now we can really start moving. Get the roof on the house, get the paint that she wants, do the flooring. She, you know, just start making changes that she's wanting. That makes me happier than shit to make my wife happy. So, yeah, I'm an easy guy. Just don't tell nobody.
Don't tell anybody in the court system.
That's right. That's right. So,
anyway, well,
with that being said, that's my good news. Yeah, yeah. And I'm happy as hell. I really am.
Yeah, well, you know, my situation, hurry up and wait with Midland. Haven't heard anything from
right.
the court. I got to wait until the court decides something, and I got a feeling there probably ain't going to be a whole lot going on with the Supreme Court case being in decision mode, and that probably won't happen until I don't guess that'll happen until late spring or maybe June or something like that. So,
oh, you mean your case there? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, yeah, on the definition of auto dialer, that's what the big Supreme Court case was. So, you know, what they decide to do with that, what is an ATDS, that has a dramatic effect on my case because, you know, mine wasn't that they called and left voicemails for me. They used an ATDS, and I answered 58 times, and there was nobody there. I mean, it wasn't just a minor little thing, but, you know, the corrupt court out in California stuck it to all of us. But that's part of the problem we're dealing with the courts being as corrupt as they are from literally, we now know even more details about the Supreme Court and stuff. In fact, the exposure came out on our Supreme Court Justice John Roberts today about the deal with his children. Yeah.
Did you see it? I don't know how it will affect anything, but, yeah, pretty nasty.
Yeah, well, it's out in the open now, and Epstein was the intermediary in the deal with his kids. And
yeah,
that came, I guess, out of court document.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think
I'm
it's
saying.
Going to. But we'll see. I mean, but, you know, there's just so much corruption in there, it's unreal. But, you know, I don't have anything that I can say on that because I've got nothing and other than that the cases were transferred back to the Eastern District of Texas. So it's in the judge's hands here and what they're going to do about it. I'll hear something eventually. But
right.
that's all I've got. Anybody else? Any of the other moderators got anything?
No, is Terry in? I don't even hear her voice anymore.
No, Terry isn't on. Either she got confused or something happened and she had something come up where she couldn't be on. She didn't say anything to me about there being any problem, but I don't know. But, well, I tell you what, we've got a couple people on the board with questions. And, of course, if people have questions, that's why we're here, to help answer questions for people and hopefully point them in the right direction. If we don't know the specific information that somebody needs, we'll try and point them in that direction. Otherwise, we can try and answer their questions. But if you have a question for us tonight, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone, and that'll put you in the queue. And we only have two people right now. Well, now we've gotten a little bit more, but I'm going to take them in the order that I've got them on the board. And as we have done in the past, when we run out of hands up on the caller list, we're going to say good night because I've got some other work I'm going to do before I try and get to bed at a decent hour and get another good night's sleep for my recovery mode. So with that said, let's go to 201 and take their call. Go ahead. You're unmuted. 201.
Okay, that's me. Me, Brian, and Kim. Okay.
Hey, Brian and Kim, how are you?
Good, good, good. We're doing good. But first of all, we want to congratulate you, Jesse, on
your
14 years. And, I mean, it was a journey. And I'm glad it's over for you. You know, it was great. That was great what we heard, you know. So,
like I said, I'm grateful, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're grateful for
Very grateful.
Too.
listening
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Well, my question is, now, I have, you know, we're in the process of trying to settle with Midland. And
right.
it's been going on for the last couple of weeks. We have been with this with the lawyer, and you know he's like, okay, I'll get back to you. You know, I'll have your stuff, which you know, like that. So when we had talk with Terry and Dave last week, Dave, had, you know, he gave us some good stuff to write a letter or you know an email and send it to him. So he called me yesterday. And he said, look, it's my fault. I'm so sorry. You know, I'm going back and forth with Midland, getting everything together, and I'll try to have everything for you this week, hopefully by the end of the week, like that. So my question is, if this continues to go on, what would be my next step? Because we already have a settlement agreement. So do I take I don't know where to go from there, what I should do with the lawyer.
Okay, well, let me ask a couple questions, at least one. When you had that discussion with the attorney and he said, well, I'll get it for you by the end of this week, what was your response?
I said, well, listen, you know, this has been going on, and it seems like, I mean, you got my email, and it seems like we're developing a pattern here. So, you know, we got to get something done. And he says I'm going to call him up today, even though it's a holiday. I'm going to call him up and try to get this. Get some answers for you and get the paperwork in and hopefully we can just sign everything. And, you know, and from there, I mean, I didn't know what else I needed to say to him, you know.
Yeah. Well, what is it that he needs to acquire to get things finished? You don't have a finished settlement agreement yet in proper form. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're still trying to get to the point where you have an acceptable settlement agreement that you're willing to sign.
Yes.
Okay.
And right.
Why is it that he's having so much trouble getting paper? Evidently, they're just not providing him with the draft agreement, because they do all of them. You know, they don't let their lawyers do them. They always draft the agreements and they send them out to the lawyers. They control that part of it.
Really, Dave? I never knew that. Interesting.
Yeah, that's the way Midland works. Yeah. Oh, well, they aren't going to
okay,
let
yeah,
they,
yeah.
they aren't
no
gonna let out for their local attorneys to screw up.
So I just
they draft
that.
The settlement
yeah.
agreement because all of them. I've seen a few of them, and same language.
Well,
and if it was different lawyers, there'd be difference a differential between the language on them. But Midland absolutely controls that from headquarters. Which, I mean, it's a smart way to do things from their standpoint. I would agree if I was in their position, that's what I would do. I wouldn't leave it to some flunky lawyer that gets his head up his butt and puts the wrong figures in on something and puts them on the hook for more liability or, you know,
yeah.
More money than what they plan on. So they have their people do those drafts, and then they send that out to the attorneys who forward it on to the other side of the litigation. So, yep, that's
interesting.
I found that out. I've known that for quite some time because I've seen a few agreements. you know, I signed several of them with Midland early on with my stuff. And then Terry and I went over hers. Hers, same thing. Hers was exactly the same thing. And then I've seen a couple others in addition to Terry's. So, you know, of course, you know, you do that before they're signed. So, it's, you know, it's supposed to be confidential. Well, you know, I'd looked over it with Terry and made sure that there wasn't anything in there we didn't want and stuff. And then it was up to her to sign it and send it back, you know. We stayed within what we're supposed to legally, what we agreed to. So there's no problem there. So Anyway, so you're waiting for that agreement. Basically, review for me what your communication to your email to him was before the last one you sent to him.
Okay. Hold on. Let me bring that right up on my... Okay. All right. What I sent him was, it says, it has been 5 days since our last conversation. Now, okay, yeah. It's been 5 days since our last conversation. I thought that we were going to do the settlement, but you keep delaying because of your schedule, and I am not going to sit around and wait. As a plaintiff, it is my responsibility to move this case forward. Once again, it appears that I cannot trust what you tell me because you repeatedly say the same thing. I am seeing a pattern of you saying you are going to do things and you don't do them. I can only assume, unless things change, that this is going to go on indefinitely. Please understand, I know you are busy, but in my case, but my case comes first for me. I will one more time request your cooperation, but my patience has worn very thin. If you're not going to finish out what you need to do to get the settlement, then I am going to just proceed forward to trial, which I will do if necessary. Therefore, I need to have the documents in hand, and this matter needs to be concluded within 5 days. And then I said, call me if you have any questions, like that. So I sent him that.
Well, that was good. That was a very good communication, in my opinion. Yeah, you hit every nail right on the head. It was well said, the whole deal.
Yep.
Absolutely. So
it's he, for
well, within 5 days, when was 5 days up?
We did this on right after you after Terry's call on Thursday. So I guess Friday, we sent it right out.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you're right at 5 days right now.
We sent it
from the date that you sent that, correct?
Oh, okay. Kim said we sent it out on Sunday. Okay.
Oh, you sent it out on Sunday.
Right.
Okay.
And he called us on Monday.
Okay. Well, he was fairly responsive then.
Yeah.
Well, he said he'll get it to you by the end of the week?
Yeah, he said he's going back and forth with Midland. He doesn't know what was taking him so long, but he's calling them up, and plus with his schedule, you know, he's trying to go back and forth with them to get this resolved.
Right.
And he says, "Look, man, I'm trying. I'm just, you know, so."
Yeah, well, you know, I've heard that song before, and it's
right.
Getting kind of shrill in my ears. I think what I would do, Brian, would be I would wait until Thursday. I'd wait till about noon. And then I would send him an email and say, I'm just contacting you to remind you of the conversation we had on Monday, that you would, in fact, have the settlement documents to me by tomorrow. Please advise as to whether you are going to meet that deadline. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, that's good.
Just real simple. So you're not waiting until the last minute. You're catching them. You're giving them enough time, but you're tickling his fancy, so to speak, reminding him, hey, this is what you told me. And I'm following up pretty close here. I'm giving you some time, but I want you to confirm that you are going to follow through. And then, you know, you should be getting your documents the next day.
Right. Okay. So this is the worst case scenario now. What if he doesn't respond right, and I don't get the things I need from him? What would be my next step?
What I would do in that case is I would wait till about Tuesday of next week, and then I'd send him an email. Unfortunately, your failure to respond or provide the documents regarding settlement leaves me no choice but to move forward through discovery and to trial in this matter.
Okay. Okay.
No more delay. No more delays are acceptable.
So even though there was a settlement agreement or proposal, okay, it was a settlement proposal, I guess.
Well, you basically have an agreement, right?
Yeah.
But you could actually probably go to the court and ask the court, if that became necessary, ask the court if you got good documentation of it, ask the court to enforce the settlement agreement that you reached with the other party, where they have repeatedly refused to provide the documents necessary to draft and provide the documents regarding settlement, and you ask the court to compel the you ask the court to order the defendants to follow through on their agreement, the agreement made verbally on such and such a date, to culminate this matter and be able to remove it from the court's docket.
Okay.
That'd be a way you could pursue it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I know, you know, with the agreement and everything, I didn't think that I needed to go with Capel for discovery, you know, because we were already past
your discovery time.
Well, I wouldn't think you would be at this point.
Yeah.
No, I was saying that because we had an agreement, then, you know, for settlement, then I would do discovery. I wouldn't do discovery. I would just go towards the compel them for the settlement.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you want to use the terminology compel them to settlement. I think you the way you'd probably want to do it would be to make a request of the court, that the request for an order by the court that defendant in this case follow through on already agreed upon terms to finish all matters in this case, all matters of settlement, so that the case can be finalized and removed from the docket, something to that effect. But, you know, you request an order from the court, not saying compel, but request an order from the court that orders the defendant to follow through on agreements already made. And, you know, you've got enough communication back and forth where you can show the court that, yeah, we've reached a settlement here. It's just they keep screwing around on doing the paperwork.
Okay.
I think that'd be a better way to do it, and not using the compel terminology.
Okay. All right.
So, Dave, in that motion, you wouldn't say motion then. I heard you say do a request instead of using the word motion.
Well, a motion requesting an order from the court ordering defendant in this matter, Midland Credit Management or whoever it is, to follow through on agreed settlement terms, on previously agreed settlement terms, so that this case may be finalized according to those terms already agreed to by the parties. Unfortunately, there's been numerous delays by the defendant saying there's problems with receiving the proper settlement paperwork, when all terms have been agreed to. But this has happened repeatedly, and plaintiff seeks to get this case settled as soon as possible, and so that it can be finalized and removed from the court's docket. Removed from the court's docket so as not to further litter the docket of the court.
Okay. All right. That's great. That's great.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, so we'll
see,
just wait
see
until...
The thought pattern behind that is if they see you're going to go to the court and tell the court, hey, these guys settled with us, but now they're screwing around and they're not getting the paperwork to us, and they are impeding the settlement of this, and we want to get this off the docket. Well, what does the court want? The court wants it off their docket. They want to empty
Correct.
Their docket of every case they can. So if you go to them and say, look, you're not going to follow through on this, I'm going to the court and I'm going to tell the court what's going on and have the court order you to do it. Oh, no, don't do that. I'm pretty sure we should be able to have it tomorrow. Can't
you know,
just see that, Rand?
When you guys have been discussing this, it brought me back to Dave, you and I have both done webinars in settlement in the past. And settlement, according to the court, is where there's a meeting of the minds and they've agreed
right.
upon set terms. That's why it's important to not be vague but be specific with exactly what you want. And when the other side agrees to it, whether it's to get a settlement or whatever settlement agreement or whatever to delay, you've already arrived at a settlement. The settlement agreement is a mere formalization to satisfy
right.
their internal workings of your, you know, opposition. You would be just as happy to get a check and you would dismiss it. They want some formalization so they've got the settlement agreement. It doesn't give them the ability to eat up the time. And I believe we covered some of the case law in the webinars. And, I mean, this is going back a couple of years, so you might have to look up to see if there's newer cases. But I'm sure they'd all say the same thing. The courts want to preserve their valuable time and limited resources. And once settlement's been arrived at, they want to sweep this thing away as quickly as possible. And if they need to threaten the other side to do it, they will. But you have to have that email chain that says, I wanted A, B, C, D, and E, and the other side agreed to it. At that point, you've got a settlement.
Right.
And the court can't
force a
settlement
without the agreement.
And that's
why I was just saying before this. Yeah. That's why I was saying before this that, you know, you've had enough email correspondence with them on that. I'm sure you have that information there. And just the email that you sent them last week, you know, is another indication that, you know, it shows right there that you're screwing around because you remind them, look, this has been happening over and over and over again. So you've got that kind of backup for going to the court to have the court nudge them.
That's correct. And by putting the emails in as exhibits to your motion or notice, you know, you could motion the court for miscellaneous relief up to including forcing the settlement and include the copies of the emails with it. You've made every effort to get this thing resolved, and you're not sure if it is, you know, dilatory practice on the part of the of the defense counsel, or if it's a resistance by his client in arriving at a final settlement, you know, you're just bringing it to the court's attention. And the court's going to be like, why, you know, I could get this off, you know, it's like having a to-do list. The judge has got a to-do list. And if he could scratch your case off of it, he'd be happy because he'd have more time for golf.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. No, John's absolutely right. He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
They want to clear as much stuff off their dockets because they've always got stuff coming. They're never looking for work. They're never sitting around twiddling their thumbs looking for work. They already have plenty.
And opposing counsel might be in his golf league, and he's going to go, look, dickweed, if you don't get this settled,
right.
Well, I'm going to get run out of the golf club.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
So that,
I mean,
that's the way I would
really
do
is
things.
Like that.
I think to just send them an email Thursday, just touching base to remind you of your commitment to have the paperwork to me no later than tomorrow, and I have yet to hear from you. I just wanted to remind you that, as I stated before, my patience is pretty much exhausted, and should you fail to follow through once again, my next step will be to go to the court to ask the court to enforce the already agreed to settlement agreement. And boy, that'd just light him up. Oh no, don't
settlement
go to the court. Don't go to the court about that. No, we'll get it. We'll get it. I'll do whatever I got to do to get it.
Yeah. And we have enough. We have enough correspondence going back and forth with these emails, and plus the actual rough draft settlement agreement, you know, which
right.
had to be.
There you go.
You know.
There you
so
go. So you got
have,
what you
we
need.
Have, we have enough stuff. Yeah, we got it.
I think that'd be
right.
the better way to go.
Thank you.
And I think it'll, I think
life.
It'll get you to a check in your hand quicker that way.
That would be wonderful. Now the next.
That's always wonderful.
I like your say ting. I like that.
Yeah, why would you want to file a lawsuit against somebody? Because I want a check.
Check.
Cha-ching.
Now, the next call is a month from today. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I will get the schedule out here. And I will look that up so I give everybody the date. And, of course, you know, you get the mailings from the website. So you're going to be getting the call reminders and stuff. Our next call is going to be on February 16th. That'll be on a Tuesday night. And then there'll be a webinar the next day. The way we're going to be doing things for now going forward is to have the call for the most part, it'll be somewhere around the middle of the month type time frame. And then we'll have that on Tuesday night, and then our webinars will go, instead of every 2 weeks, they'll go to once a month also. But the webinar will be the day after the call, so they'll be bunched real close, 2 days back-to-back.
Yeah,
but February
back-to-back.
16th.
Yeah.
February 16th is the next one. Then March 16th, then April 13th, then May 11th. June 8th.
Okay.
So
thank
there's
you
your
so
schedule.
Much.
Sure.
Hey,
all right. You got all your stuff taken care of. All right. Well, let me get out of this email here, and we'll say good night to you and bring up our next caller. Good night. Have a great evening, you guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to 704 as soon as the board unmutes. There we go.
Okay.
704, you're unmuted for your question.
Okay, 704, this is the Arizona North Carolina connection. Everything is very, very quiet.
Well,
very quiet.
Hey. Hurry up and wait. Boy, do I know what that's
all,
like.
Congrats. I wonder. Well, Maricopa County, I guess they got some cleanup to do. Congratulations, Jesse. Oh, wow. That's great. I got a quick question about when the owner of a property has transitioned, what is the best way for the executor of the estate to handle the paperwork?
That's a good question. I don't see anything special there, John. I mean, you just got to follow
nothing
whatever
special.
The person, the living person wanted, I guess, right?
Yes.
Was there a will involved?
Yes, there is. And the house is paid for in full, so.
Okay, well, then if that goes into probate, then the probate court would direct the what should happen with the property, correct, Jesse mm-hmm. and John?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Who's doing the probate? That's the question. Who's probating the thing?
Okay, and well, let me go back to the will. The will is a handwritten request for what, and the handwritten request is not on file. So,
well, if that's the presented as the last will and testament of the person that passed, unless there's somebody that comes up with a competing will, then that would be deemed the last will and testament of the deceased party,
okay.
And then the court would work on that. And it doesn't have to be typed or anything. A will can absolutely be handwritten. I know that much.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, is there a date on the will?
No.
Yeah, that's something just for general information
that's right.
for people.
That's
if,
very weird.
If you,
right?
Yeah, if you make out a will, I don't care if you write it on a napkin. If you're making out a will on something you're going to leave to somebody,
yeah.
You know, your best friend or your drunken buddy or whatever, it's always a really, really good idea to put a date on it. Because that puts it as being created at a specific point in time in the past. And let's say you had a will that was dated June 15th of 1981, and somebody else comes up and they present, well, you know, I have last will and testament, and it was August 31st of 1994.
Right.
Well, now you have a dispute because one doesn't have a date and the other one does.
Exactly.
The one that doesn't have a date, somebody can make a claim. Well, you know, that will was done in 2005. Well, but it doesn't have a date on it. Are there any witnesses to this will being done? See, this is the stuff you'll get into if you
right.
if you don't. So, you know, just for everybody's. You know, in your situation there, it, of course, is going to come back to, is somebody else going to come forward and present another will that they claim
okay.
to be genuine and have preference over the one that you have in your possession?
Okay. The one that I have in possession is handwritten, so.
Well, yeah, but here again, it doesn't present a point in time when it was done.
Okay.
And you remember the terminology is the last will and testament of Sophie Jones, let's say. Okay.
Right.
The last will and testament of Sophie Jones, somebody may have a will from 1985, but somebody else might have one from 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
How could the one from 85 be the last will and testament if there's another one dated 1992?
Right.
Obviously, you have an identity problem there.
Yes.
Do you think there's any possibility of a competing will being brought forward?
No.
Okay.
So do I have to wait right now for the court to, when I go to, I guess, probate court?
Yeah, I really don't know anything about that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So
okay.
I can't give you an answer on that. But, you know, I could talk about the general situation from a, you know, just a legal logic standpoint. But, yeah, on that kind of stuff, you may want to consult somebody.
Okay.
A reputable individual. Yeah, and where do I find one
you
of those?
A reputable individual. Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
I said a mouthful there, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Okay,
is that all you got
evening.
For us tonight?
That's it. I tell you, Arizona is kind of quiet. They're busy, I guess, trying to clean up things.
Well, they got a lot of cleaning up to do in Maricopa County.
What you talking about? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's going to be a whole lot more stuff going on here pretty quick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, dear.
Thank you. It happens, man.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see. We got somebody down by you, Jesse. He's got a hand up here. We're going to go to 407. Somebody down
Hello.
In Florida. Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Can
How
you
are you?
Hello.
I'm good, yes. I'm from Orlando, Maitland area.
Oh, man, you're next door neighbor to Mr. Jesse.
Oh, yeah? Hi, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
yes, my question is I'm trying to get a credit, what do you call it? Credit collection agency off of my report. So I sent the first round of dispute to the credit bureau, and of course they said, yes, you know, verify, blah, blah, blah. I sent a second one to them, but then I sent a request for verification to the collection agency, and then they just sent me a letter. So then I sent
okay.
a second one to them.
Let me interject something real quick here.
Okay.
You don't
yes, want yes.
to ask them to verify. You want them
okay.
to validate. It's
okay.
very
Maybe
important
that
you use, it's very important that you use the correct terminology. There's a huge difference
okay.
between those two words.
Okay.
Do not ever validate. Use the word verify. Use validate, please.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Did I put that really? What did I put here? Okay, so maybe I did use the improper terminology. I'm not 100%. I don't have that letter right in front of me.
Okay,
wait, let me look. Ah, I used validate because I used your letter, you all's letter.
Okay, very good.
So validate right. was used, but I guess my brain, whatever.
Okay, well, that's
so,
fine.
Anyway,
we're just making sure.
Okay. Yes, validate was used, okay.
Okay.
So then they came back, and on my credit report, the first time it said consumer disputes, blah, blah, blah. The second time it said re-verified. I think it said re-verified. I don't think it said revalidated, but I think it said re-verified. And then the third
You're
time
You're talking
said,
the credit report, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
and
yeah,
then,
it'd be re-verified. Yeah.
Right, and then the third time it said consumer continues dispute after case resolved or verification resolved, something like I was disputing it even though they had resolved it, but nothing actually was resolved. And as far as mm-hmm. the second letter to the collection agency itself, they sent me a letter. It was kind of like a chain of ownership, maybe. Like, I guess Capital One sent them, oh, you now own this, blah, blah, blah. But there were no.
Right.
There was nothing like
chain,
was
a
it,
chain of
account
ownership.
Level document. Chain
yeah,
of ownership.
Chain of ownership.
Chain yep. of ownership. Okay, but never, I think she calls it account level documents. Is that what she
Yeah, that's what
before?
You asked for, right.
Right. So I've obviously never received that. So at this point, do I write them again? or do I write?
What I'm going to suggest you do, what I'm going to suggest you do is, for whatever reason, Terry is not with us tonight. She may have had something come up where she couldn't be with us. Normally she's on all the calls, but she's not tonight. But she has a call on Thursday night. Are you aware of that call?
I went to the call last Thursday, and I think I was at work and forgot to mute my phone. So when I got muted, I didn't ever get unmuted. So I was going, hello, hello, hello. And I think I was muted on her side.
When she mutes,
so I was never...
when she mutes you, what you have to do when that happens, you have to hang up and call back in. Then you'll automatically be unmuted when you call back in.
Okay.
But, yeah, if there's noise on the line, she's going to mute you. If we ask if there's somebody
that's
there.
That's fine. I think I just forgot because I was at work.
Yeah. But, anyway, what I wanted to suggest is because she isn't with us, to answer your specific question at this juncture, where you are with these, you know, you've made some inquiries and replies. She is absolutely the guru on this. She knows every one of these angles with the FCRA. I would highly recommend that you call in on her call at 8 o'clock Eastern on Thursday night. And as soon as you have an opportunity, go ahead and speak up and ask your questions. And we'll be more than happy to help you. Yeah, it's unusual for Terry not to be here tonight, but something must have come up where she isn't able to be on the line tonight.
Okay. I do have one other question. Now, I'm on the What Lies in Your Debt. You know, the website and everything.
Yeah.
So now I know that before, because I used to like be with you guys before, the forum seemed a little bit more active, but I put things on there, but I've not really seen much activity or answers on the forum. So
there hasn't
it's mostly
been.
On the,
you're right. There hasn't been.
Okay. So more
so
of the calls than the forum.
Yes, we've just been neglecting. I'm not even going to lie to you. Everybody's been so buried, you know? And there's such there's such little activity that it's just hard to go in there every day, you know.
Right.
So I apologize, but I promise all three of us will get in there at least once a week, won't we, guys? It's bad. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to know, and so I will get onto her call on Thursday. I think I still have the number. I'll look through my email because I know she sent it to me, and then I'll pursue it that way.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be the good thing to do because she'll be able to point you exactly right down the straight and narrow of where you need to go and exactly what you need to do as far as your requests for information or in your responses.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you for your time, and congratulations. I didn't hear everything that happened, but I heard there was something fabulous that happened to my neighbor there. So I'm very excited for you, for your win.
Well, to put it in a nutshell for him, it was a 14-year journey of litigation that he just reached a very favorable settlement on.
Oh, wow. 14
years of litigation.
14 years?
Yes,
yep.
14 years.
That is tenacity. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
Yeah, amazing.
That's what we do here. That's what we do
I've
here.
I've had three properties for that long, just so you know.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, this is nothing
new.
Well,
congratulations. Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys for being here for us. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
You have a great night, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right. You know, I don't see another hand up here on the board. And that means that if somebody doesn't put one up real quick, if anybody's got a question, you hit the one key on the keypad in your phone and put yourself in the queue, or we're going to be done for the month of January on the Tuesday night calls. And I don't see any other hands
914,
popping up real
so
quick.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, so we are going to be done with this call. The next call is going to be in February. Yes, it's going to be February. We will not be doing a call in 2 weeks. The schedule has changed effective the first of the year, and we will be doing one call a month. It'll be in the middle of the month, And the call in February is going to be on the 16th, Tuesday night. And then there'll be a webinar
right.
on the 17th on Wednesday afternoon at the usual time, 3 o'clock Eastern. So take and jot that down somewhere. But if you get on the line and they're looking for us in 2 weeks, you're not going to find me here. So anyway, we're here based on demand, and the demand has waned for the temporary period of time, so we're going to wane with it. So, Mr. Jesse, I'm going to leave it to you to wrap it up tonight as usual.
All righty, guys. Again, thank you for joining us. Just remember what Dave just said. It's once a month. So every 2 weeks, you're going to have a call roughly, or every third week, right, Dave? Something like that. So, again, apologies for the forum. I will. I don't know about these two guys, but I promise I'll get on at least once a week.
We've
just been real busy, so I do apologize for that. Yeah, it's just been rough on all of us. I think everybody on this call has had a rough last 4 or 5 months.
God.
So, yeah, I know.
It's been kind of crazy at times,
I don't wish it on anybody's family. I really don't, man. It's just been a rough one, and it is what it is. So, we're not going to fight it. We're not going to argue. And I'll just apologize and say, I promise you we'll be under here a lot faster, more frequently. So with that being said, guys, God bless everybody. Thanks to our moderators. And Terry, check with Terry. Make sure she's all right, dude. Would you give her a shout?
Oh, I'll check with her. I'm going to call her. Well, my guess is something happened in her family or something like that. I mean, they're up in the mountains in North Carolina and stuff, and that's my guess, because even if, she forgot about it, she would have realized it and jumped on here late, I'm sure, and
right.
She hasn't shown up on the board all night. So I'm going to give her a call and check with her. But I can't remember whether I talked to her this morning. Yeah, I guess I did talk to her this morning for a little bit. It's been kind of crazy for me, kind of come out of this fog I was in for the last 3 days. But
right.
I'm better and stuff. So, and speaking of Terry's call, just for everybody's information, if you are not on Terry's email list to get the call information for her call every Thursday night, send an email to Queen Songbird. That's all one word, queensongbird@gmail.com. And in the subject line, just put me on the list. That's all you got to do. And she'll send you the information one time. Don't think you're going to get a reminder every week. That's not the way she does things. She'll send you one. Make sure you jot that down somewhere where you don't lose it. So that's how you get to us on Thursday night, and I'll be there on Thursday.
That'll work.
So.
All righty, guys. Thanks again. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Guys, anything. Dave, we'll talk tomorrow. I want to run something by you tomorrow anyway. So. You guys have a good night. God bless everybody. Have a great, great week, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, everyone. Have a great
evening.
Appreciate
it, guys. Yes, sir. All righty, buddy. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.